Well, we're beginning a new series to go with our new year. And we read
there in the Bible, there in the New Testament, about a man by the name of Saul and a famous day in his life. And so I've got a heading. What a day can bring, okay? What a day can bring, if you like. What a difference a day can make. You never know what may happen on any particular day in the Lord's wisdom. And on this particular day, well, this man that we're just going to be thinking about, the beginning of his real understanding of spiritual things, we're just beginning to think about this today, and then in future family services, we'll be following through some of the things that happened in his life. But this is where, in a way, it all began with him. Now, he was, well, he thought he was a very learned man, and that he understood about God and about the things of God, and that he had got it all worked out. And he lived, well, in the main city, of course, Jerusalem, which is the capital city there, isn't it, in Israel. That is perhaps what it might have looked like in his day, a city dominated, of course, by the temple, the building there that was particularly designed by God for his worship, where people would go up to Jerusalem to worship there, and they'd offer different sacrifices and special days which he had said that they should follow. And Saul, our person here we're thinking of, well, he was absolutely part of all of that, full of zeal. And he was very much for all of these things that the people of that day were doing, as far as he could understand it. There's another picture of modern day Jerusalem. There we are. The sun probably setting, I think, there, isn't it? But I think we just make out again, well, something of the city. Never been there. Others of you have, I know, but there it is. The city of Jerusalem. But back in those days are the days after the Lord Jesus Christ has died, risen, and gone to glory. So it's some years after that event. And the church had been growing. People had been putting their faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in him and were living before the people there in a way that showed their love for him. And this was not very pleasing to Saul or to the other people who were there in the temple, the people who thought, we know what God is about. We understand these things, not these Christians. Talking about this Jesus who they say died and then rose again. Not that. And they became, well, very angry. Read in the Bible, this man here was enraged. He was really angry. He thought, this is terrible. This new religion, this is taking away from God's glory. And really, this is just too much. And so he thought, this is how I can serve God. Here we are. These are the Christians. They're in prison, aren't they? He's put them in prison. He's gone round the city, finding Christians, say, right, we're going to arrest you. Men and women, it says in the Bible, didn't matter. You're all going into prison, and we might put some of you to death even. If you won't stop following this Jesus of Nazareth, this way as it is called, then that's the end of you. Or it's going to be real trouble for you. So you turn back now. But of course, a lot of them didn't. I guess some of them might have, but a lot of them didn't. That must have been a little bit troubling to him. That these people, even though he was trying to torture them and he was full of hatred for them, that they came back with love, forgiveness, and gentleness, and that they just did not give up their belief that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, this great figure who died on a cross, and then come back to life again, that he was the Son of God and that he was the center of everything. And they just would not stop believing that. So, for our friend Paul here, as he later becomes called, of course, I'll put that name up as well. That's how we know him better. This was puzzling and maybe a little troubling. They just would not stop believing. Well, anyway, he kind of dismissed any thoughts he might have had, any questions and doubts, and asking himself, well, am I really on the right side of this? I thought, no, the best thing to do, we've got to go everywhere where these people are and get rid of them. And so there was a city, which is, I understand, 136 miles away. Now, there you are. You hear precise things here at times. 136 miles from Jerusalem, the city of Damascus. Well, that's not what it looked like then. That's what it looks like today. Big city, capital city of Syria. There it is. Lots of people living there. And it was a fair-sized city in those days as well, when Saul went with a group of other people to go to Damascus, and he had, what we see here, letters in his hand, came from the high priest who was in charge of the temple, and this gave Paul permission to go to Damascus and find any Christians there, have them in chains, drag them back to Jerusalem, and then do his worst to them. And so he travelled away from Jerusalem. Here's 136 miles to Damascus with this other group of people who were with him. And, well, there we are. We don't know precisely where and how, but that's a bit of a picture there. We're going towards Damascus. It's pretty remote parts, not lived in much in those days, probably still not today over much. And then something happens. Ah, what a day can bring. There he was, got it all sorted. I think I know what God wants. I know the way to live for him. I know about these things, and I know God wants these Christians gotten rid of, and this name Jesus, well, we're going to put a stop to all of that. That was where he started the day, where he finished the day, because as he traveled along, suddenly, there was a blinding light. He fell to the ground. So did those who were with him. But this particularly singled out our friend Saul. Here he is, got his letters to go and arrest people. And suddenly, this is all ending. Down he goes. And there is a voice. Now the people with him heard something, but they didn't hear the words that he heard. Those words were the words he didn't expect to hear. And the person he least expected, in a way, to hear them from, because he was being asked a question. What's the way, isn't it? Ask a question. That finds out where people are. You ask them a question. Saul, Saul, knew his name. Something, his voice knew his name. Why are you persecuting me? That was a shock to him. Persecuting? That doesn't sound like a good word, does it? If you're persecuting someone, that's a bad one. That means you're attacking them and you've got something in for them and you're against them. So this doesn't sound good, this beginning of the conversation here. It sounds as if our Saul is in a bit of trouble here. But who's the me? Persecuting me? And in that moment, Paul might have been thinking, well, who's this? Who am I attacking? Who have I got it in for? Maybe just beginning to think about these poor people in Jerusalem, but that's not a me, is it? It's not one of those people kind of booming out to him from Jerusalem on the road to Damascus. So who's this? Who's got the power to beam down this light upon him, make him end up on the ground and speak to him? Then he asks the question. He's really at sea. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? He realizes this is coming from heaven. So he's very respectful and very polite. He isn't rude. What do you mean? Who am I persecuting? I'm not persecuting it. He hasn't got any of those words. Who are you, Lord? Who is this that I'm in the presence of? Who is speaking to me here? And then he's told the person that he least, in a way, wanted, in one sense, to hear from, the person he least expected to hear from. I am Jesus. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The voice from heaven with the power to cast this man down on the ground was the person that he had been going around Jerusalem and now was on his way to Damascus to stop people believing in him, to get them to turn back from him and say horrible things about this Jesus of Nazareth and to deny that he ever came back from the... That person, who certainly is alive, dead people do not speak to us. They don't even try to contact them. We mustn't do that. Dead people don't speak to us. This person isn't dead. He's alive. He's the risen Christ. And he is speaking to Saul, who has just been spending so much of his time and energy putting people to death, who are saying, Jesus is the Son of God, and he rose from the dead, and we need to believe in him for eternal life. You say, no, 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 none of that. Stop saying it. I'm going to kill you if you do. So now, that person is speaking to him. Well, that was a shock. And so, we can see, if you will, what was his religion there about? What were his hopes based on? Well, his plan, you see, this is where a lot of us are, if I can find my words. How to please God, how to go to heaven. Yeah, that boils it down. How do we please God? And therefore, if we think we're pleasing God, how do we go to heaven? Yeah, they're kind of linked up, aren't they, these things here, these sorts of issues. How to please God? Well, Paul thought, this is it, and I'm doing very well at this sort of stuff. I obey rules. Just obey rules. You just follow to the letter these particular things, and as long as you do these particular things and go to the temple and do it all right there and the right sacrifices, that will be fine. You're pleasing God. You will go to heaven. But now heaven is speaking to him. Lord Jesus is speaking to him. And he's not saying, you're pleasing me. You'll come to heaven with that. No. Saying to him, you're persecuting me. You are attacking me. You hate me because of the way you're treating my people. You're not pleasing me at all. You're full of violence against me. What a shock. Man, you thought, doing all right. I'm there. I'm obeying the rules. Look what I'm doing. And no, the complete opposite. You're not obeying, you're disobeying. You should be following the person these people are speaking to you about. You should be believing in me because I am God's son and it's all there in the Bible. It's all there in the Old Testament. Of course, Saul, well, he knew his Old Testament in the Bible, but he missed the central point of it, which is that Jesus is coming and he's the Son of God and he's the Savior of all who believe in him. And so here he is, we can find some space for him. He reaches Damascus, yes, because he's been told, well, arise, and you'll be told what to do. Well, this is new, isn't it, now? He thought he'd got all the plans, and I'm the one, I know where I'm going. I'm going to Damascus, going to arrest these people, take them back to Jerusalem. Sorted. No. All change. What a difference a day is, what it can bring. Now he's going to have to do what he's told. Been told by the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to send somebody to help him. Because there he is, he's sitting there blind. Oh, got his sight back. Somebody had to help him to get to Damascus. This great sort of strong, I can do it person. And now there he is, helpless. He's praying. And he's just trying to understand things. And his mind must be in an absolute whirl. Going back through the Old Testament and realizing that it all spoke about Jesus of Nazareth. That was the person that was promised. And he'd missed the point entirely, gone into overdrive to try to stop people believing in him. His world has seriously unraveled. But what is good about all this is he's been humbled. And in this, a most wonderful word, repentance. Repentance. He has changed. He has changed how he thinks. He has changed how he's going to behave. He has changed in all of his understanding of God, how to please God, how to go to heaven. That's gone now. None of us can offer God what he requires by trying to be good or trying to obey rules or trying as best we can what the Bible says. Well, we'll do that and we'll try as hard as we can. Well, we can try hard and I'm sure we should, but it won't be enough to please God and to go to heaven. We need to be humbled like he was. Not the way I expect, that as you walk away from here, a sudden bright light is going to shine, you'll fall down in the marketplace or somewhere in South Wingfield there, and that will be that. No, but a change that happens in our hearts when we wake up. When we wake up, when we see we haven't got it right, we've got it wrong, we need to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, the fact he's coming to judge the world, what that is telling us, that we might repent, say we've got it wrong. We need his help. We need his mercy. I'm going to put my trust in him. Here's Saul. Well, it's a different story now. He's telling people about Jesus from Nazareth now. He's completely changed the whole tack of his life. He was putting people in prison here for believing in Jesus Christ. Now he's telling them, you really ought to believe in Jesus Christ. When people say, wait a minute, we put them all in jail just the other week for saying this. What's happened to you? And so he would tell people, as he often did, just what happened to him. One day, as he went to Damascus, what a day can bring. What a day can bring. So has that day come for you yet? Has that day come for you yet? A day where you wake up. A day when you realize, I'm living, but not living. I haven't yet found Christ, the Son of God, and found his forgiveness and found his mercy. It hasn't happened yet. Oh, pray that day would. And if you're wanting that day, you pray. Ask God, I want that day, whenever that day is, however it might come, oh, that it would come, that I might be humbled and I might repent and that I might see that your Son is absolutely everything and that I must trust him with all my heart and obey him and go where he takes me and follow where his will lead me for the days of my life, because that will be pleasing God. And look at this. I actually go to heaven. There we are. We're all interested in that place, really. We all somewhere think, there's an afterlife. There's an afterlife. And there sure is. Jesus shows us there's an afterlife. Yeah, how to go to heaven? It's him. It's him. And so Saul, well, he wasn't going to heaven when he was going to Damascus. Not only set out on his journey, but he was afterwards. That day brought change for him. So might that day come for you? Will you trust him? Will you believe in him? And put your heart there, right with him. But that's what he asks of us. And you'll find blessing. Oh, you will find blessing for your soul. Forgiveness, pardon, his love, his fellowship. God who's there to hear our prayers, change us and challenge us and move us on. All of that. And heaven at the end of it. So I leave you with those thoughts. What a day can bring. Like today, bring something wonderful to you as well. Well, we'll sing our closing hymn, 670, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, 670.